Well, as I mentioned, I like to think I'm fairly politically astute, and I like to think I'm, you know, smarter than average, I suppose. But I, for the life of me, cannot work out what this national energy guarantee that the Prime Minister and Energy Minister Frydenberg keep going on about. Look, there's been a lot of dissent in the coalition party room about this, particularly from the backbench. And the chair of the backbench committee, Craig Kelly, joins us now. Craig, thanks for joining us. But, mate, does anybody actually understand what this NEG means?
Look, I know it's... This is a complicated area of policy, so I'll try and explain it the best I can in the, you know, in the limited period of time. I think I haven't got a couple of hours to explain, but I'll see how I go. Yeah. Look, it starts off with our Paris targets that we have. Now, under our Paris commitments, we've signed up, for better or for worse, and we can argue that separately, but we've signed up to reduce our CO2 emissions from 2005 levels by 26%. In 2030, okay?
Right.
Now, of that, our electricity sector makes up one-third of Australia's emissions. So what we are trying to do is to have a set a target where Australia's CO2 emissions in our electricity sector fall by 26% from 2005 levels to 2030. So that's the aim. That's what's trying to be achieved. Now, the way that is achieved is by setting what's called an emissions intensity threshold in the electricity grid, which was round about in 2005, round about 0.85 of a kilogram of CO2 for every megawatt hour of electricity that was produced, and have that on a trajectory that we've reduced to down to about 0.6 of a ton of CO2 for every megawatt of electricity that's produced.
Okay, so...
That makes a lot of sense.
It's as clear as mud, but or clear as smoke, I guess, is a better way to put it.
Ultimately, it is to force more renewables in the grid to take over from coal-fired generation.
But isn't that what's forced our electricity prices up, effectively?
Well, yes. That there's a clear correlation everywhere in the world where the more intermittent generation that you force into the grid, such as your weather dependent renewables such as your solar and your wind, because you only get your solar capacity only works, you know, it only works when the sun's out, and it doesn't work at 100% all the time. So your wind only operates when the wind blows, and again, you get great variations of that. Now, the more that you force in of those variable generation, the higher costs you've got elsewhere throughout the system. And that's what's happened everywhere throughout the world. So we look at the highest electricity prices are in countries like Denmark and Germany that have the highest number of intermittent renewables in their grid. In Australia here, we've seen exactly the same thing. South Australia, with a 50% renewable energy target, has the highest electricity prices, not only in Australia, but in the entire world.
Well, look, we know Malcolm Turnbull traditionally has been a climate campaigner and has been in favour of renewables, but Josh Frydenberg's no dope. Why is he on board with this if it's not going to achieve what they're telling us it will, and that is bringing our energy prices down?
Well, the hope is that by forcing additional supply of renewables into the grid, that you'll get this extra supply and that will bring prices down. So that's the concept point. Now, I've heard this all before. When we had the renewable energy target, we had all these modellers come in and they say, oh, look, this wonderful modelling, you'll do all this and you'll force all this extra supply into the market and that'll bring prices down. But in theory, on a piece of paper, it might look good. But what you find in practice is that as you do, the more intermittent stuff you force into the grid, it white ants your baseload generation, which is your coal generation, because they've continually got to turn on and off and turn on and off and ramp up and down. Sort of like if you're running your car along the highway at 100 Ks, it'll run much more efficiently. And if you're running in city traffic where you're having to slam the brakes on and hit the accelerator, then slam the brakes on all the time.
Yeah, okay. So, look, yourself and Tony Abbott and Barnaby Joyce have been fairly vocal in the media about this and their opposition to it. Now, I'm not going to get you... I don't want you to give us chapter and verse what happened in the party room, because I know you can't do that, but how broad is that disgruntlement, for lack of a better way of putting it, amongst backbenchers?
Oh, look, the concern is that even if the NEG does... reduce the price of electricity, and even if the modelling is correct, none of this happens until 2021, 2022, which is sort of like after the next election, not this election. Now if we are going to get re-elected as a government, I believe we've got to do two things. We've got to show the consumers that we are getting prices down between now and when they go to the polls.
Yep.
And we've also got to convince them and show them that the policy that we have going forward will get their electricity prices down, while the policies of the Labor Party will force them up even higher than where they are.
One of the difficulties Malcolm Turnbull has had is he doesn't speak the language of the street. I mean, he's not a Tony Abbott or a Barnaby Joyce when it comes to that retail politics, as they call it. Has anybody sat him down and said, mate, nobody understands this, and it's going straight over everyone's head?
Look, it is a difficult concept, and you know those issues have been raised over the last couple of days in discussions down here. This is a very difficult thing for the public to explain, and all the public want to see, all the technical jargon doesn't interest them. All they're interested in, when they open that electricity bill, they want to see that lower and substantially lower than what they paid before.
So what's the alternative? What are the backbenchers who are aligned with you suggesting as the right way to go?
Yeah, well, sure. Look, there's quite a few things we do. Firstly, I'd like to see all the subsidies go. This year, we've got $3.6 billion. Remember, that's $3,600 million that gets added on the top of everyone's electricity bill to subsidise intermittent generation of renewables. I'm saying the time for those subsidies should come to an end.
Now, can I just interrupt you there? So to put that in perspective, so somebody like me who is buying my energy from a traditional supplier, I'm paying for renewables even though I'm not using them.
Correct. Oh, so that is smeared across everyone's electricity bill. Now that works out $3.6 billion. So we've got $24 million is around $150 for every man, woman and child in the country, or $600 for the average family of four. We could knock that off, basically. You know, we still have to get it through the parliament, but we could fight to knock that off straight away. So that's something we could do that has an immediate effect. Of course, all the green rent seekers that like to pocket all these subsidies, you know, groups like AGL that pocketed $200 million in subsidies last year to underwrite their profits, they're going to jump up and down and complain about it. But I just think we've got to stare them in the face and say, we're going to put, the public first, that are having trouble paying their electricity bills ahead of you, and we're sorry.
But you know what I don't get about this is you can understand the Greens having a lunatic policy, like a company that's made an $18 billion profit, let's give them a subsidy. But I can't understand even Labor suggesting that's a good idea.
Well, remember, the Labor Party's policy, this is what I find just amazing. When we have different economic policies, different policies, we always theorise what will happen down the track. You know, if you reduce, let's take the company tax, if you reduce company tax, what will happen? Will businesses invest more? Will they, pay their workers more? What will they actually do? Will they pay shareholders more? Where will that money go? And that's a fair enough debate to have, because you're arguing what's happening. Now, when it comes to electricity, Labor's policy is a 50% renewable energy target. Now, we've run that experiment. That experiment was called South Australia under the South Australian Labor government, where they said, let's go down this 50% renewable energy target. And they even called it a big experiment. And what that experiment did, it gave them blackouts. Mm. It gave them the most unreliable power. But worst of all, it gave them the highest electricity prices in the world. Now, any common sense person would say, look, that experiment's been tried. It was an unmitigated failure. We won't do that. But yet we have Bill Shorten and the Labor Party being pressured by the extreme Greens to want to duplicate that and take it across the nation.
Craig, this obviously got support in the party room, or broader support in the party room. There have been threats from some members to cross the floor. Is this going to pass the lower house?
Well, look, one of the great privileges we have in the party of Sir Robert Menzies is the right to independent thought and independent action as backbenchers. So we have the right on every single piece of legislation that comes to the parliament that if we find it, we can't consciously vote for it, we're able to do that. In the Labor Party, if you do that, you are executed at dawn. You are basically expelled from the party immediately. No, don't come back, don't collect two, no, don't pass go sort of thing. You're out, you're done and dusted. We have that right in the Liberal Party. So that gives us the opportunity to look at every piece of legislation with a critical eye. Now, who may cross the floor, whether we can negotiate a few things on this, a few other issues on it to try and believe what I believe could get electricity prices down over the months. It's still going to be approved by all the states first as well before it gets legislated through the federal parliament, because this is actually national legislation, and under the what they call the COAG, the Commonwealth Heads of Government rules, any one particular state can knock this off. So you've got to get unanimous support from all the states, and that would be the next phase this would go through. before it would come back to the federal parliament, then it'd have to pass the House of Reps and the Senate.
Watch this space. Craig Kelly, good to speak to you this evening.
Appreciate it very much.
That's Craig Kelly. He's the chairman of the Coalition Backbench Committee. Well, what do you think? Is that any clearer for you? 13, 27, 10. Let me know if you understand that any better.